Today I want to continue in our series of messages along the theme of wisdom. You know, the Bible is very clear that the more wisdom we get, well, the better life becomes. The more wisdom we practically apply to our daily lives, the more blessing and the more breakthrough we begin to experience. Two great scriptures from the book of Proverbs. Firstly, chapter 15, verse 24. The Bible says that the path of life leads upward. Notice that, upward for the wise. They leave the grave behind. And then Proverbs 8:35 in the Amplified Bible says, "For whoever finds me wisdom finds life and obtains favor and grace from the Lord." 2 weeks ago, we looked at wisdom with finances. Last week, we spoke about wisdom in the workplace. Today, I want to speak to you on something else that is of great concern to many, many people at the moment, and it's the area of our health. You know, I think the COVID virus has in many ways brought a fresh focus to this vitally important area of life that many of us, if we have to be honest, well, we generally tend to neglect. I think too often we give more attention to things that are less important than our health, and often it takes something really, really serious or life-threatening to shift our focus towards our health and to pay closer attention. I've titled today's message, Wisdom for Health. Now, my goal is not to give you a new diet or exercise routine, but simply to highlight some of the great wisdom that is available in the Bible to us that points us towards being healthier so that we can live better, we can live longer, and we can enjoy the many blessings that God has for us. You know, when you think about it, our health is probably our greatest asset, because you can have all the many things that money can buy, but if you don't have good health, well, you can't enjoy them anyway. In 3 John 1, John writes to the church and he says, "Dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you are what? As healthy in body as you are strong in spirit." I think sometimes as Christians, we can downplay the importance of being physically healthy because we're more focused on building our spiritual lives. Now, of course, we should be building into our spiritual lives. We should be growing in faith and the Word. But that doesn't mean we can neglect our physical bodies, because they are the vehicle that God has given us to live in, to worship Him with, and of course, to do the good work that He's called us to. Jim Rohn, the American author and businessman, rightly says, "Take care of your body. It's the only place you have to live." You know, if we don't care for our bodies, well, we are going to be unable to physically do what God has called us to do. I think most of us in our day-to-day work have a physical element to what we do. Even if our jobs are not labor-intensive ones, we all have homes that we need to run and keep clean, and maybe gardens that need regular attention. We all have chores and responsibilities that require running around. We have families that need time and energy from us, and especially if you have kids. You know, my 4 kids are very, very active. They love playing sport, they love running around, they love riding their bikes, and I've realized that if I don't look after myself, well, I'm going to miss out on some of the most important years of life if I don't have the health and the fitness and the energy to keep up with them. My health, as important as it is to me, is equally important to my family, because if I have good health, they have more of me and I also get more of them. Joyce Meyer rightly said that God made you with 3 distinct parts with specific functions to make you a complete person. Spirit, that being your eternal connection to God. Soul, being the mind, the will, and the emotions. And body. Caring for your body is one of the best ways of caring for your spirit and soul. You know, to have good health is one of God's greatest gifts, something that we must never take for granted, but also something that we need to pay attention to, because when we become unhealthy or sickly, well, it affects every other area of life. Francis Bacon, the English statesman from the 1600s, once very profoundly said that a healthy body is a guest chamber for the soul. A sick body is a prison. Let's see how we can get more wisdom in the area of our health. Firstly, number one is this: see your body as a temple, but don't make it an idol. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19, Paul writes and he says, haven't you learned yet that your body is the home of the Holy Spirit God gave you and that He lives within you? Your own body does not belong to you, for God has bought you with a great price. So use every part of your body to give glory back to God because He owns it. You know, we see here that the Bible reminds us that our bodies are important and therefore they need to be taken care of. In fact, Scripture refers to them as the home of the Holy Spirit, and therefore they need regular maintenance and care. God also reminds us that He's bought us at a high price through the death of Jesus, so we need to steward this body of ours well because it is on loan to us from God. If it's been bought by Him, then it actually doesn't even belong to us, and that's quite a thought. You know, in the Old Testament, we see that God's presence lived in the tabernacle and then later in the temple. Now as believers, we are the carriers of God's presence. So I think it's important that we take good care of this vehicle that has been entrusted to us by God to carry His presence. Let me just say this. A healthy body does not mean a perfect body. A healthy body is not a perfect body. You know, our society has become obsessed with perfect bodies, so much so that for many of their bodies that God has intended to be a temple for His presence have instead become idols for worship and for self-glorification. You know, I'm constantly amazed and yet also not amazed at how many people post pictures and videos of themselves on Instagram and Facebook and now also on TikTok, showing off all their bits and pieces, body parts hanging out all over, craving someone to just like their thing and, you know, looking for comments and more followers and the applause of people, desperate really to be told how awesome they look. I mean, it's crazy. And by the way, this includes many people in the church as well. I think the only difference is that sometimes Christians add a verse of scripture to their half-naked picture or a motivational comment to disguise their true intentions. Look after your body. Take good care of it. But don't turn it into an idol that you obsess about and that others begin to worship. In 2 Timothy 3 verse 1 in the Message paraphrase, Paul writes and he says, don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. As the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed, money hungry, self-promoting. Don't make an idol of something God has given you as a gift. Good health is given to us to enable us to serve the purposes of God better and to be carriers of His presence, not to bring self-glorification. You know, the reality is that an obsession with health and physical image can actually detract from you enjoying what God has given to you because you always have to compare how you look and how you measure up against others. Josh Billings was an American humorist who once said, there are lots of people in this world who spend so much time watching their health that they haven't the time to enjoy it. Your body is a temple and good health is a gift from God, but don't turn it into an idol. Secondly is this, commit to long-term health, not a short-term crash course. You know, this COVID season has shown that those with underlying health issues are more prone to contracting the coronavirus. In fact, the underlying conditions that make most people susceptible are these. Firstly, heart disease, lung conditions, diabetes, then obesity, and also weakened immune systems. I guess they like the big five, if you like. Obviously, age is also a huge factor. But the irony is that most of these conditions, these big five, are the result of previously neglected health. Not always, but more often than not. You know, when people continuously abuse their bodies through poor diet and bad lifestyle choices, well, the result is very often one of these conditions that have now endangered the lives of many people and killed thousands of others. Things like, you know, obesity and diabetes and a weakened immune system are for the most part not because of bad genes. Now, you may be more prone to inheriting some of these, but mostly they are the consequences of a lack of wisdom in our health choices. There was a guy called Persius who was once an ancient Roman poet, and he profoundly said, "You pray for good health and a body that will be strong in old age. Good, but your rich foods block the answer." You know, I've always found it very challenging as a pastor to pray for people's health when clearly they have been neglecting it and abusing it for years and years. People sometimes come forward at the end of services needing a miracle because they've received a bad doctor's report. But often what they really need is the wisdom to make the necessary changes to their lifestyle and to take responsibility for their health. Now, if you've been watching the news this past week, you would have seen the devastating explosion that took place in Beirut in Lebanon. More than 100 people were killed and thousands more were injured, and reports seem to indicate that the blast was actually caused from a batch of nitroglycerine that was confiscated from a boat in 2013. And rather than discarding this highly explosive substance, it seems that it was stored in unsafe conditions on the docks for the past 7 years. And the reason I tell you this is because very often people have heart attacks or strokes, or they develop other very serious life-threatening conditions and are then surprised that it happened, or maybe even blame God for letting it happen. But the real problem is that for years they had been neglecting and overlooking things in their lives pertaining to their health that they should have either rectified or changed or dealt with, but didn't. People's health then explodes, often killing them, while others are left trying to manage the sometimes irreparable damage that has been caused. I think the trouble for many of us is that we live so well these days that we really have an unlimited choice of food options available. And in many ways, our lives are one continual buffet of rich, tasty, high cholesterol foods. And most of us have the budget to eat as much as we want on a daily basis anyway. You know, in the book of Daniel, in the Old Testament, Daniel and his three friends were taken into exile with the intent of them being trained for royal service in Babylon. They had an unlimited supply of rich, choice foods available to them, but because they had wisdom and wanted to honor God in their health, they recognized that to eat like this on a daily basis would actually destroy their health and eventually be the undoing of them. In Daniel 1 verse 8, the Bible says that Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. He asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat these unacceptable foods. Well, after Daniel's request was agreed to, we then see a few verses later in verse 15 that at the end of the 10 days, notice just 10 days, Daniel and his three friends looked healthier and better nourished than the young men who had been eating the food assigned by the king. After just 10 days of healthy eating, there was already a noticeable improvement in them compared to those who hadn't changed their old ways. You know, the amazing thing about our bodies is that they can be replenished and they can also be somewhat restored with many existing conditions reversed when we begin to commit to a healthier lifestyle. You know, unfortunately, too many of us get sucked into quick fix diets that we simply cannot sustain for long periods of time. And then, of course, we go back to old lifestyle habits with even greater vigor, because now we've got to make up for lost time, unfortunately, only to worsen the state of our health. Let me say this. The secret to a healthy lifestyle, like most things in life, is actually not a secret. It's consistency. That means consistently making wise choices every day to eat well, to not always give in to cravings, to sometimes say no to the voice that speaks to you from within your fridge. I mean, we all know that voice. You know, to not let your emotions dictate what you put into your mouth, and to honor God by looking after this body that He has entrusted to us. In Nehemiah 8 verse 10, the Bible says that Nehemiah continued and said, "Go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks. This is a sacred day before our Lord." You know, I wonder if some people have maybe made this their all-time favorite Bible verse. I mean, Listen, this was an instruction given to the people as an occasional event. It was part of a celebration. I think many of us today have embraced that scripture as a daily ritual, consuming rich foods and sweet drinks as part of every meal. Now, God is not against good, nice, rich foods. He's not against sweet drinks and treats. But they are meant to be the exception, not the rule, particularly if we are wanting to live long, healthy lives. Proverbs 23:20 says, "Don't be a heavy drinker or stuff yourself with food. It will make you feel drowsy and you will end up poor with only rags to wear." Listen, we must eat the right portion sizes of food, but also the right kinds of food. It's wisdom really to avoid processed foods as much as possible and to include as many real foods as you can. And by real, I mean foods that are in their natural state before they've had sugar and salt and preservatives added. You know, I think even with takeaway foods, again, there's nothing wrong with it, provided it's the exception and not your regular practice. You know, I think the following quote that I came across is a good reminder and great wisdom for all of us from American author Michael Pollan, who once said, "It's not food if it arrived through the window of your car." That's some good food for thought there. Number three is this: get some exercise. Now, some of you don't like that point, but get some exercise. What someone once said, too many people confine their exercise to jumping to conclusions, running up bills, stretching the truth, bending over backward, lying down on the job, sidestepping responsibility, and pushing their luck. 1 Timothy 4:8. The Bible says physical training is good. I'm going to let that just sink in for a moment. Physical training is good. Now, I don't want to take this verse out of context, because what Paul is really saying is that although physical exercise is good, it is still more beneficial to exercise our spiritual muscle, because as we know, our spirit will live forever. However, it doesn't negate the truth that, as the Bible says, physical training is good. I know some of you maybe believe that this verse was the devil's contribution to the Bible, that when God turned his back, the devil slipped that verse in just to make us miserable. But the truth is that anyone who neglects some form of physical exercise will eventually end up paying for it with poor health. Edward Smith Stanley, the former British Prime Minister, once said that those who do not find time for exercise will have to find time for illness. God created our bodies for physical activity. We're not just designed to sit on a couch and watch TV all day. It's a bit like having a car that's always parked in the garage and never gets driven. If you leave it long enough, the battery goes flat. So when you go out to try start it, well, all you get is You know, I think most people, when they don't get enough exercise, they also tend to do too much. Why? Well, because they have to deal with unnecessary aches and pains and mood swings and emotional issues that could have been avoided. Now, I know some people have more of a natural leaning towards physical exercise than others, but I found that the more of it you do, the more of a desire you then have to want to do it, especially when you start feeling healthier. You know, many people are heavily reliant on all sorts of medication and antidepressants, when in fact a change in some of the foods that you eat and a regular commitment to some form of exercise could be the very thing you need to get breakthrough. There was a famous American cardiologist by the name of Paul Dudley White who once said that a vigorous 5-mile walk will do more good for an unhappy but otherwise healthy adult than all the medicine and psychology in the world. Now, just a quick word of encouragement here. Don't try go from zero to hero. If you've never been to the gym or you don't engage in any form of exercise, don't try become an overnight hero. Start slowly, but make a start. Get advice if you need, but get that body moving and begin to see changes in your health. Number four, very simply, drink plenty of water. You know, there's so much research available to show that drinking lots of water increases our overall health. It prevents dehydration, it increases brain function, it boosts energy levels, it prevents and treats headaches, it relieves constipation, which can be handy, and it also assists in weight loss. In fact, a 2013 study with 50 young overweight women showed that drinking an additional 500 milliliters of water 3 times a day before meals for 8 weeks led to significant reductions in body weight and body fat. Another similar study showed that people dieting who drank again 500 milliliters of water before meals lost 44% more weight over a 12-week period than those who didn't drink water before meals. You know, the reality is that none of us can be at our best if we just drink coffee and Coke and other beverages. Our bodies need water. You know, in the Bible, water always symbolizes life. And there's a great verse of scripture in Ezekiel 47, verse 9, that says, "There will be swarms of living things wherever the water of this river flows. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its waters will become fresh. Life will flourish wherever this water flows." You know, I think this verse perfectly sums up the benefits of water to our physical bodies. They come alive. Our bodies begin to flourish when they are sufficiently hydrated. Parts of our bodies that were perhaps dormant and maybe even dying begin to function the way God intended them to. Water, of course, continually washes us clean on the inside. It flushes out toxins and impurities. So drink water and drink lots of it. It'll change your health for the better. Number 5, I hope this is okay. Fast regularly. I think fasting is probably one of the most underrated and ignored disciplines for most people, including Christians. Now, I have to confess that I don't look forward to fasting, and I'm often guilty of putting it off when I know that I should do it. But besides all the spiritual breakthrough that we get when we fast the way God intends us to, there are also great health benefits to fasting. A man by the name of Dr. Alson Haas has done significant research into fasting, and he says that fasting is the single greatest natural healing therapy, nature's ancient universal remedy for many problems. It's the missing link in the Western diet. You know, fasting in a health context is probably best viewed as giving your body a holiday. You know, all of us love holidays, and I think most of us would say that after a good holiday, we feel better, we're more relaxed, we're less stressed, particularly if we've had a good break. And I think the same is true for our physical bodies. They also need a break from time to time from what we put into them. Fasting, what it does, it allows our bodies to get rid of toxins that poison our system. It breaks bad eating and drinking habits, and it also gives our vital organs like the liver and the kidneys a chance to rest. Our bodies always function better on the other side of a fast. In Matthew 6, verse 16, Jesus said, "And when you fast," notice not if, but when you fast, "don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get." You know, Jesus said we should fast, but he also says that there are rewards when we do it with the right motives. And those rewards are not just spiritual rewards, but also in our physical bodies and in the area of our health. Number 6, laugh more and worry less. You know, I think happier people are usually healthier people too. I think sometimes we all take ourselves a bit too seriously, and we can get so caught up in our work and our day-to-day lives that we don't allow enough time to laugh. You know, even in ministry, you know, what we do here is of eternal significance, but yet we still have to stop and have a good laugh along the way sometimes. A man by the name of James Welsh was a physician and professor of nervous diseases. He once said, "People who laugh actually live longer than those who don't laugh. Few persons realize that health actually varies according to the amount of laughter." In Ecclesiastes 11, verse 10, The Bible also says, so refuse, notice refuse to worry and keep your body healthy. I think these past few months have not only decreased the amount of laughter for people, but have also increased people's levels of worry, which, by the way, has had a very negative impact on health. People are worrying about finances, worrying about work, worrying about whether they're going to get the coronavirus or not. They're worried about homeschooling their kids. People are worried about the future. They're worried about whether they can still go on holiday in December. There's plenty of things for us to worry about. But in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus asked a rhetorical question in verse 27. He said, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? You know, the truth is that not only does worry not add a single moment to our lives, but it can actually shorten our lives, and it certainly detracts from our health. Very simply put, it's unwise to worry, especially about things that you can do nothing about. Number 7, we're almost done. Let go of bitterness and unforgiveness. Let go of bitterness and unforgiveness. These are both poisons to our bodies. And the more we hold on to them, well, the more we poison our own physical bodies and reduce our overall levels of health. You know, essentially, bitterness and unforgiveness, what they do, they keep our bodies in a prison. And in fact, you can end up undoing all the good work of eating well and exercising regularly by holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness. Proverbs 14:30, again from the Book of Wisdom. A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Jealousy is like a cancer in the bones. Let me give you one more thought. See your body as an instrument of worship. See your body as an instrument of worship. In Romans 12, verse 1, Paul writes and he says, so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. You know, our bodies are given to us by God first and foremostly to be used as instruments of worship. We do not exist for ourselves and to simply fulfill our own desires. No, no. We exist for the glory of God and for his purposes. And that includes taking good care of our health and looking after our bodies, because many people, by neglecting their health and not applying wisdom, have cut short their lives because they died before our time. You know, even in church, we've seen many people over the years who would have still been alive today serving God had they paid more attention to their health. Your heart's desire can be to honor God and be used by him, but if you abuse your body and fail to grow in the area of wisdom, your health will hold you back from being all that God has called you to be. Henry Ward Beecher, the American minister, once said that the body is like a piano and happiness is like music. It is needful to have the instrument in good order. You know, the bad news today is that you can't change your health around in one day. But the good news is that today you can begin to make different health choices by applying the wisdom of God that is available to us in Scripture, and you can begin to live better and healthier. And I firmly believe that a healthy body is pleasing to God. Again, not a perfect body, but a healthy body. I don't think God cares too much how big your biceps are, or how many pectoral muscles you've got, or any other muscle for that matter. But the Bible has a lot to say about good stewardship. And when we steward well what God has entrusted to us, he's always pleased with that. I hope you can say amen to that today. I want to take a moment and just pray for your health. Pray for God to give you wisdom. If you perhaps are sick today, let's bring that before the Lord. But I want to also pray for God to give us wisdom to make better health and lifestyle choices. In your home, would you pray with me today? Father, I just bring every person who's watching today before you. For those who are sick in body, Lord, I pray that there would be healing. Thank you that your word tells us that you are the healer. By your stripes we are healed. But Lord, I also want to pray particularly today that you would give us wisdom in this area. So many of the issues and the aches and pains we have are self-inflicted. Give us the wisdom to eat better, to honor you through the choices that we make, to get some exercise, and just to make simple decisions that could have a profound income on our lives, that could cause us to live longer so that we can serve you better and in greater capacity. Thank you for the wisdom that is available to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.